Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Hello, everyone, and welcome to UCA. I want to welcome my UCA members and visitors. Welcome to this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I am your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, which is located at 869 North Euclid Avenue in Upland, California, 91786. Our services starts at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. Okay. All right. So listen, call or text or inbox your friends and family members and tell them to dial in for this special edition of UCA Radio. Okay. The number to dial in is 646-668-8537. Once again, that's 646-668-8537. 8537, or you can look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, Alignable, or Instagram, okay? So just go ahead and do that. And also, wherever you see this post for today's program, you can listen from your computer. You can click on the link today. And all this week, just look for the post for this particular show and go ahead and click on the link or click on the picture, okay? All right. Also, tune in to The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain on HSBN.TV. You can always catch us on YouTube and many other apps anytime this week. So join us, okay? As a matter of fact, you can join us tomorrow on Facebook Live. All right, so tomorrow afternoon between 2 and 3, Facebook Live, okay? So be sure to do that. All right, hey, listen, don't go away. We'll be right back with our message for today. All right, stay right there. Don't go away. Thank you. the Lord is our Savior. All right, now, we're getting ready to get into a kind of probably a little controversial message, okay? This is called, the message is entitled Trick or Treat. It's the origin of Halloween. Now, there will be many of you who probably disagree with me on this, but nevertheless, you go to the Lord and you ask the Lord if what I'm preaching is true, and believe me, he will confirm it to be true. All righty? Okay, so stay open. Take it to the Lord, as it's written in Scripture. Try all spirits to see if it's of the Lord or not, okay? So do that. Let's get into the message today. Trick or treat, the origin of Halloween. Now, as Halloween approaches, well, you know, before I start it, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I pray that you are with everyone that's on this line as they listen to this message. I pray that you will open up their hearts, their minds, and their understanding, that they will receive some good nuggets of truth, Lord, in this message. Your word, let it be in their heart. Let their eyes be open to things that they haven't seen before or they didn't know. Help them, Lord. Help them all. And help me. Let your spirit be upon me as I present this message for your glory. In the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. As Halloween Day approaches, the children are getting more and more excited. Schools are preparing their annual Halloween programs as they cover their classrooms and hallways with witches on broomsticks, skeletons, pumpkins, ghosts, and goblins, and prepare for their classroom Halloween party. Adults put their Halloween designs on their front lawns, you know, turning their lawns into cemeteries and so on. And their houses become haunted houses. They have something spooky and scary, something all in and around their house, something spooky and scary looking, okay? All in and around the house. At work, they dress their offices and cubicles with witches, demons, ugly pumpkins, and ghosts as they prepare to go to a costume store to decide what costumes they're going to buy or rent for the annual company Halloween party. Most of these people, and listen carefully, most of these people have no idea what they're doing. And some of these people could be you. You have no idea what you're doing. They don't know how much they are opening doorways and portals for real demonic spirits to enter into their lives. Evil spirits are always looking for doorways to enter into your life already, as it is. They entice you to or make subliminal suggestions in your mind to tempt you to do something that they want you to do, so that they can have a legal right to enter into your life. Keep in mind that the fall of Adam and Eve came about because they were tempted by their own lust. Satan put the suggestion in their hearts that they could be a god, just like God, our creator, if they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is what Satan told them, and they believed him. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, they thought that that was a good thing. You see, in the beginning, Adam and Eve, they only knew good. They only knew God. They didn't need to know evil. The moment they started knowing good and evil, they became vulnerable to Satan and his tricks, his schemes. So they welcomed Satan's suggestion, and their eyes were opened, and they did know good and evil. But that, like I said, wasn't a good thing. They, by obeying Satan, they gave him a legal right into their lives and the lives of all of their offspring for thousands of generations, even to this day. Satan disguised as a serpent planted an evil seed into their lives. And then they became tempted. He was disguised as a serpent. And, you know, that's what Halloween is all about, disguising yourself. And so Satan, by disguising himself as a serpent, he got their attention. And he planted an evil seed. You see, back then, in the beginning, the serpent wasn't like a snake that you see now. But the serpent was a beautiful creature. It's a very beautiful creature. So it was easy to talk to this serpent, but he planted an evil seed. It was Satan inside the serpent planting an evil seed into the minds of Adam and Eve, and they accepted it. And this is what happened next. They got tempted. And when the woman saw the tree, saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she was tempted and gave in to the temptation. But so did Adam. He was tempted as well, and he gave in to the temptation. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave unto her husband with her. Adam ate it too. He was tempted just as she was, and he ate it. As always, when you listen to Satan, it backfires on you. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They started to desire the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and their very own lust caused them to sin. Then they tried to cover up their sin by dressing themselves. You know, many Christians have also done that. And, you know, let me just go ahead and say many of us Christians, hopefully this is in the past and none of you are doing it now, but many Christians have sinned and then they try to cover it up. They dress themselves with lies, deceits, a fake and phony smile, an outward appearance of righteousness, and they use this kind of covering as a facade in order to hide their secret sin. But God can see right through it. It's always a costume. It's always something that Satan wants you to put on that's not the real you. Adam and Eve wanted to be like God by disobeying God and obeying Satan. What they didn't know was that God wanted Adam and Eve to become more and more like him. And they were going to grow into that. But he would have to be the one to make that happen, not them or Satan. God makes that happen. Christians, you can't do God's will by disobeying God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God requires obedience, not rebellion, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Demons need a legal right, a legal doorway to be opened in order to enter into any situation in your life. They have to be invited. The doorway has to be opened. And once they get that legal right, or once they get permission from you, they enter in. And they can remain dormant for many years in your life, only to show themselves in a very dangerous and destructive way at a certain time in your life. However, some spirits will manifest themselves immediately and come after you for no apparent reason. It'll seem like it's no apparent reason. They cause havoc by possessing or oppressing you in some way, or by bringing you into a state of deep depression, which in return will affect your family and friends. Demons want to enter into the lives of your children, causing your children to be rebellious, disrespectful, liars, unbelievers, and untrustworthy. These evil and deceptive spirits will bring violence to any situation in your life. They can even bring murder or put you in bondage to a particular sin. And so many other things that they do, many other things. I can't name them all. But these things happen because we carelessly or ignorantly or even purposely have opened doors to them. You know, some people open doors out of mere curiosity, or some people open doors to demons because they want more power. They want to manipulate people more, so they lean more towards witchcraft. It is written in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, you've rejected God's knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priests to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God." And remember now, the law of God is his word. "I will also forget your children." This is the Lord saying that you forget my word, I'll forget your children. We must understand that evil spirits or demons will always try to attack you, looking for a weakness or try to sidetrack you from doing God's will. But we must be alert and keep our guards up and our spiritual senses intact. Because if you don't, then you will fall into the deception of many things, including Halloween. Understand that the doorways of Halloween stem from people allowing their children to worship the demon or demons of Halloween by dressing up and giving their identity to spirits. That's actually what you're doing, even though people don't see it that way. It doesn't matter how you see it. That's what you're doing. And the little kids run to different houses and different people saying trick or treat, not really understand what that really means. You know, people used to think that, well, when a kid say trick or treat, that means, you know, show me a trick or give me a treat, you know. But it doesn't mean that. Trick or treat essentially means give me a treat or I'll play a trick on you. These were the sayings of the ancient druids that would go to people's houses on Halloween night to get something from them. And if the people didn't give or have what they wanted, the trick was deadly. And many people in the villages were very, very fearful of these druids on that night. Because of all of the demonic activity that would take place on that particular night, spirits working through people. What is a druid, you might ask? Druids were ancient Celtic priests that were referred to as magicians and wizards. They were a big part of Halloween because they participated in its origin. Let's talk about how Halloween actually got started. The origin of Halloween started with a Celt festival called Samhain or Samhain. The Samhain festival is also known as the origin of Halloween. Samhain was actually a powerful and special demon of hell, and was one of the 66 seals. Now, this is witchcraft language, and most people don't even understand what the 66 seals are or who they are. The demon Samhain could only rise when summoned by two powerful witches through three blood sacrifices over 3 days, with the last sacrifice day being the final harvest, October 31st, Halloween. By the way, I just want to give you some quick advice. Hold on to your animals, your precious animals. Watch your beloved children closely and even take care of yourselves. This is the season of the witch, and they are looking for sacrifices. On the night of October 31st, the eve of the new year, the Celts, after harvesting their crops and storing them for the coming winter, begin their Samhain festival. First, they extinguished the cooking fires in their homes. Then the Druids, who were Celtic priests, met on hilltops in the dark oak forest. They viewed oak trees as sacred and built huge sacred bonfires to frighten away evil spirits and to honor the sun god. You know, there are many rituals and things that take place even in this hour, like the Ku Klux Klan. You know, they would dress up in their little white things and have big bonfires, and they had their little rituals, and other organizations do the same things. This is stuff that's continuing on from all of these ancient demonic powers that took place, that has been going on for many generations. Next, the people would burn, now I'm still talking about the Celtic priests, the Druids, the people would burn crop and animal sacrifices to their gods, the other people in the villages. They would burn their crops and perform animal sacrifices to their gods, dancing around the fires as the season of the sun passed and the season of darkness began. This is in keeping with the rituals of animal sacrifices and witchcraft today, and also human sacrifices to Satan by Satanists and so on. The Celts wore costumes of animal heads and skins and told each other their fortunes. All of this is witchcraft, even with games, you know, with these video games and all that kind of stuff. People get all into it and they start dressing up like animals and all that kind of stuff. That's that spirit of this whole Halloween thing. It's the spirit. It's demonic spirits. And they have them, and people were telling each other their fortunes. All of this is witchcraft, and it is still going on today. Fortune-telling is witchcraft, and so on. Divination, all of that. The next morning, they relit their cooking fires from the sacred bonfires in order to free them from evil spirits, as well as to protect them during the coming winter season. They were deceived into using demons to protect them from demons. In ancient Britain and Ireland, the Celtic festival of Samhain, Eve, was observed on October 31st at the end of summer, being the occasion for one of the ancient fire festivals when huge bonfires were set on hilltops to frighten away evil spirits. The souls of the dead were thought to revisit their homes on this day, and the Optimal festival acquired sinister significance with ghosts, witches, hobgoblins, black cats, fairies, and demons of all kinds said to be roaming about. They're just roaming about on that night. In addition, Halloween was thought to be the most favorable time for divinations concerning marriage, luck, health, and death. There's so much demonic activity around this time of the year, even today, more so than any other time. And it's all covered up to appear so innocent, fun, and happy. But it's demonic activity. And, you know, demonic activity is all year, but especially around this time of the year. I call it the season of the witch. This time of the year, they're really free, or they feel free to roam around and continue to deceive people. But what concerns me most about this season is that Christians are caught up in the hype. Many Christians are caught up in the hype of Halloween. They even participate in Halloween by having Halloween parties that they call harvest festivals and so on, and allowing and encouraging their, excuse me, allowing and encouraging their congregation and their children to dress up like demons on whatever or whatever they want to dress as. You know, at the place now, they dress, you know, try to dress real pretty and stuff, and some are still dressing like demons, but still, that's not the point. The point is that they're dressing and giving their identity to demons. And the whole point about it is that, you know, Christians, they say that it's all for the children. It's all for fun. They take it lightly. And that's exactly what Satan wants them to do. Take it lightly. By them having this frame of mind, you know, taking it all lightly, they create a seat for Satan in their congregation, in their churches, all year round, which places demons in the homes of their congregation. Every congregation, every church that really participate in all of this, make room for you know, Halloween and what they may call the harvest festival, don't let that fool you, because that's what the Celtics called the Samhain festival, was their harvest festival. So you're still giving in to Halloween. All right, just understand me now and hold on. Although a church can appear to be flourishing, having a large congregation, money coming in left and right and so on, but wickedness increases also in the church, bringing forth adulteries, homosexuality, perversions, and fornication within the congregation, along with idolatry. That's when the congregation began to lift up the pastor and the leaders of the church into being something that they're not, and causing the congregation to want to be like the pastor instead of the pastor teaching them to be more like Christ. It is these kinds of pastors who are continually shearing the sheep while at the same time causing their congregations to look at them and the other leaders of the church as celebrities. Therefore, the congregation idolizes them. They're lifted up too high. Pastors like these are greedy, and they teach their congregation to be world-minded. That's because that spirit is in there. They teach their congregation to be world-minded and greedy as well, and they have a lack of love in the church. You ever see a church, big church, flourishing, but there's absolutely no love in there? Because of these things and much more, a doorway has been opened that creates a portal for even more demons to enter in. They want these portals. They want these doorways open so that they can bring more demons that are more wicked than they are. This is more serious than even many well-meaning pastors believe. This devil holiday, the devil holiday called Halloween, was created by witches. It is witchcraft in its many forms, many different forms, and it operates in the lives of people, in all areas of their life, in their jobs, in religions, careers, family, and so on. It goes on and on. Witchcraft has many forms and may appear to be good and helpful, but it is still deception. Like, for example, some police departments have used psychics to help solve murder cases. Psychics are actually witches, whether they know it or not. Whether the psychic even know it or not, you're acting in the form of a witch. They are not always accurate, but in some cases they have been successful. But still, it doesn't change anything. because just for the record, God hates witches and witchcraft in all of its forms. And believe me, there are many forms of witchcraft in this world right now today. Whether they call themselves a white witch or a black witch, it's all the same. It's evil. This is what the Lord told the children of Israel. And this goes for Christians today because we are his people. This is what he said in Micah chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. I will destroy the cities of your land and tear down all your strongholds. I will destroy your witchcraft and you will no longer cast spells. Did you know that there are many Christians that dabble into witchcraft and has tried to cast spells on people? God makes it clear to his people to not turn to witchcraft. Leviticus 19, verse 31, do not turn to mediums. Mediums are witches, or seek out spiritualists. Spiritists are witches, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. The Lord wants us to know that going to witches and warlocks and all that kind of stuff, it defiles you. God's people don't need to be defiled. God is all we need. Therefore, we don't need to go to Satan's people to hear from God or get some advice. We are to go to God, the Father, and we can go to him direct because Jesus made that possible. The Lord was upset with King Saul. He was upset with King Saul when he went to a medium, because he went to a medium. He went to a witch, in other words. After the Lord made it perfectly clear how he felt about witches and witchcraft, still Saul, the king of Israel, went to one. Saul had been rejected as king because he did not obey the word of the Lord. So he was actually rejected as king. Therefore, when Saul tried to inquire of the Lord, God wouldn't answer him. So he went to a witch. He made it worse. He went to a witch. If he probably would have repented and humbled himself before the Lord, maybe the Lord would have at least answered him. But he made it worse. He went to a witch. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 3 through 19. Now Samuel was dead. Samuel the prophet was dead. And all Israel had lamented him. They cried, mourned for him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. Keep that in mind. He was buried in his own city called Ramah. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Now, that was a good thing that Saul had done, but then he's going back on his own thing that he did. Anyway, and the Philistines, the enemy of Israel, gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. They were coming together to fight the Israelites. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. The Lord did not answer him. So here's what Saul did. This is what Saul did. Continuing. Then Saul said unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. Now, wait a minute. Saul had gotten rid of all the witches and shut all of that stuff down. But there were still a few stray witches undercover. And Saul asked his servants to find one. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Now, wait a minute. How did Saul's servants know that there was a witch in Endor? And why didn't they tell Saul earlier when he was shutting all of that down? Why didn't they tell him that there are still witches out there that's practicing witchcraft undercover? And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, other clothing, and he went. And two men with him. Once again, there's that disguise. You know, that's something Satan likes, to disguise himself. Well, Saul was put under that spell. He disguised himself and went to a witch. And he brought two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit. That familiar spirit was a demon. And bring him up, whom I shall name unto you. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore, or why then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? You know, why are you doing this? Why are you coming to me knowing what Saul has already done? And Saul, she didn't know she was talking with Saul, but Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to you for this thing. Then said the woman, who shall I bring up unto you? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, or she actually saw a demon, that was a mocking demon that was pretending, disguising himself as Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid. For what sawest thou? What did you see? Is what he's asking her. And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. She saw demons ascending out of the earth, not angels coming down from heaven, but demons coming out of hell. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. You see, Saul perceived that it was Samuel, but it was a demon. Keep in mind that Samuel died in Ramah, not Endor. This witch was bringing a spirit up from Endor. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Now, Saul messed up in many ways. He bowed himself to this spirit, thinking it was Samuel. But, you know, if it really was Samuel, he still should not have been bowing down to him. He's placing Samuel over God. He still should not have bowed down. And Samuel, or the demon, said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? You see, this demon was really playing the part. These mocking demons will play the part to the T, okay, just to keep you deceived. And Saul answered, I am sore distressed. For the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may make known unto me what I should do. Now this is ridiculous. Saul wasn't thinking. If God wasn't answering him by dreams, by prophets, which Samuel was a prophet, but he wasn't answering him by prophets or Urim or in any other way, why should God answer him if he goes to a witch and consult with a demon? He wouldn't answer him any other time. But what, now God is going to answer you because you went to a witch and consulted with a demon? This didn't make sense. Saul wasn't thinking. Then said the demon, Samuel, you know, this mocking demon, wherefore then, he's saying, why then do you ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from you and is become your enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. The demon still speaking. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of your hand and giving it to your neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto you this day. You see, you have to understand that this demon knew what happened between the Lord and Saul. He knew that the Lord had taken away the kingdom from Saul and gave it to David. The demon went on to say, this is still a part of the deception, that the demon is convincing Saul that he's speaking with Samuel. The demon went on to say, moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. This is what the demon said. Did you get that? The demon said that Saul and his sons would be with him. Remember, this demon ascended from out of the earth. Therefore, he will go back under the earth, and Saul and his sons will go under the earth with him. The demon went on to say, the Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. What is the moral of this story? Don't go to the ungodly to seek advice from the Lord. As it is written in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The Lord was also upset with another king by the name of Manasseh as well. This man was a king in Israel, yet he allowed, participated, and consulted with witches. 2 Chronicles 33:6, and he sacrificed his children in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, practiced divination and witchcraft, sought omens, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. And because he was a rebellious king, and he caused the children of Israel to be rebellious also. Therefore, the Lord turned their very own enemies against them. He turned their enemies against them. Verses 10 through 13. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into the kingdom, into his kingdom. He returned him to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Can you believe that? The Lord is merciful and gracious. He forgave Manasseh and restored him. We are not to associate ourselves with anything that is connected to witchcraft in any way, form, or fashion. That means that Christians should not participate in Halloween. So if you have mistakenly failed in some form of witchcraft, whether it's Ouija boards, eight balls, palm reading, video games, divination, abortions, idolatry, or any other form of witchcraft, you should immediately repent and renounce all of your involvement in witchcraft. Repent like Manasseh did with your whole heart, and God will forgive you and restore you. God will even deliver any witch or any Satanist from witchcraft and Satanism as well if they truly want out. God is always here for us, and he wants us to be very much aware of how Satan deceives and lies and tricks God's people into doing his will. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Be alert, be watchful, be sensitive to the leading of God's Spirit so that we can see the enemy coming. No matter how much he tried to disguise himself. So keep yourselves and don't get caught up in Satan's schemes. And if by chance you slip into something pertaining to Satan, witchcraft, and witches, just keep in mind that God will deliver us if we call on him in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Keep believing in Jesus. He is our way. He is our Savior. He is the one that will keep us.
I want to walk with you, Jesus. Feel your presence and know you're near. I want to see you, Jesus, move in power and cast out fear. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. Even the impossible can be reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. I want to say what you're saying, speaking life to what is dead. And I want to cling to you, Jesus, who hanging on your every breath. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. And it's you in exchange for me. It's even is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. So let your kingdom come and let your will be done. It's you in exchange for me. is even the impossible is your reality. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. It's even the impossible is your reality. God, even the impossible is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I